A heroic inner journey. Many who receive psychotherapy are also interested in spirituality. Do the two fit together? They go to psychotherapy and work on themselves to refind their happiness, to resolve trauma, or overcome sadness. The focus in therapy is on feeling better, on feeling more free. Large parts of tension, fear, and pain fall away, and this is all of great benefit. The main difference between therapy and non-dual spirituality is that here, all interest in what you think and feel is brought to a close. Here, we enter a totally different dimension. You leave behind the fascination for how you feel, along with the fascination for your imagined identity, your attainments, your status, or your possessions. You're invited to simply be aware and entrust yourself to the universal mystery, which is prior to all manifestation, as well as permeates it. You apprehend that every separation is mentally fabricated, essentially a misunderstanding. One cannot be separated. Seen from this primordial perspective, nothing is disconnected from anything else. There is one totality. What could you take out of existence, and where will you put it? Words such as truth, unconditional love, and freedom are pointing to this mystery that cannot be found within the world of experiences. You need to undertake a thorough investigation to come to see the completely insubstantial nature of any idea. Do you have the courage to live empty-handed without the pacifying support of any idea that you imagine to be real? Who is ready to face a total loss of identity? Who is ready, in complete openness and vulnerability, to admit to being nobody? Doesn't psychotherapy have the aim of bringing the separated ego into balance again? In psychotherapy, it is always assumed that you are someone. For example, the sad person who wants to be in balance again and feel happy. When you open up to non-dual spirituality and take a deeper look, you'll see that there is no such thing as an ego or a separated ego. The ego itself is the delusion of separation. I once asked a guru whether I needed to clean up my psychological past before I started investigating spirituality. His answer was, seeing from a non-dual perspective, all psychological problems will finally vanish by themselves. Yes, I agree completely. But my problems are still there. The guru used the word finally. At a certain moment, you are ready to no longer invest in your pain. Then you are ready to lay down your fascination for your sadness and your discomfort. Your focus changes from working on your feelings to merely observing them. It is as if you take a step back, a step from experiencing to purely witnessing all experience, from being identified with all movement to silently observing it. Little by little, all tightness will dissolve. It is a process of purification. It takes trust, patience, dedication, and unshakable focus. For some people, therapy is necessary. There are many worthwhile approaches available to them. Others, insisting on recognition for their feelings and experiences, can make use of therapy too. In or out of therapy, on your spiritual path, old pain will surface anyway. Yes, exactly. I feel I am entering a very unsafe territory. Be dauntless. No longer move around what is frightening you. Explore, allow, experience it. This will show you what has been your forbidden territory until now. Allow. Allow everything in the light of awareness. My great fear is that I will lose my children. I would not know who I would be without them. Same. Same as you are with your children. You are that. That which is unconditional and changeless. I am a psychotherapist interested in spirituality. Are the two compatible? Yes, they can be for some time. But make sure to bring the wisdom of spirituality into psychotherapy, and don't try to squeeze psychotherapy into spirituality. Ultimately, every form of psychotherapy is superfluous. And what we call here spirituality eventually evaporates into naturalness. You once said, as long as you think that you still need psychotherapy, you have not seen who you truly are. Absolutely. After self-realization, there is no more benefit from psychotherapy. The imagined personality has been seen to be completely transparent, and one has lost all interest for this phantom. Suppose someone has met a guru, but the old sadness continues to exist. Yes, it may even become much stronger. The sadness may swell to full force. What do you think is going on? In satsang, and in relationship with a spiritual master, light is thrown into your heart. Everything that was hidden and repressed is brought to light, with increasing trust and openness that rises in you. All of this will become visible. If you are not sufficiently prepared or do not have a good alignment with your spiritual master, you may think, now things are getting really bad with me. At first it was going so well, but now things are worse. What a relapse. I really need therapy. No, it's actually going really well because everything that has always been ignored or suppressed is becoming visible to you. It is becoming visible for you to merely experience without comment. And once you have allowed something totally, it ebbs away. Weight falls from you. And space fills your being. First you talk about observing, now you talk about experiencing. What do you mean? Both purely observing as well as directly experiencing are helpful pointers to become aware of entanglements and identification. Both concepts, all concepts, dissolve in awakening. But everything is possible, and people respond differently to what is offered here. Some may come to satsang only once, and wham, bam, it is all clear. Thank you. However, most people need to dedicate themselves to this heroic inner journey for many years to realize freedom. As far as I'm concerned, it is very simple. Do you have a compulsive fascination for your difficulties and experiences? Then go into therapy to process that particular item. What I like about these days is that many therapists are developing spiritual insight. This gives them greater scope with their clients. But as I see it, as long as you are working on a person, working on a somebody, you are doing nothing but reconstructing a three-dimensional illusion. Spirituality requires mental stability. You need to stand firmly on your own ground to be able to surrender to, what should we call it, truth, love, all that is. And this surrender includes the very person that surrenders. What is the difference between what you do and what a therapist does? I don't know what I do. Actually, I don't do anything. The words flow immediately, without intervention of ideas. I teach nothing. I only refer to the love and wisdom residing in each and every one. I have never been to a psychotherapist. I understand that they help you to put your thoughts in order and to express what you feel. They can guide you in solving or handling problems and in leaving behind old pain. Spirituality, though, is about opening completely and entrusting yourself to totally nothing and totally everything at the same time. Thus, all notion of being dissipates. This gives way to the readiness to die every moment, which is the readiness to fully live every moment. Go and live life fully. Fall in love, earn loads of money if you want. Deny yourself nothing. But look right through your experiences and see that they do not have a speck of reality. You do not need to let go. See that you are not bound by anything. Deny nothing, exclude nothing, include everything, in the midst of life and free of it at the same time. Do you tune into a psychological level during one-to-one talks? People come to satsang with a variety of subjects. Not every subject, however, is suitable to engage with during satsang. In those situations, we make an individual appointment to disentangle a specific ball of string. When psychological knots seem to be locked tight, we find an opening most of the time. If this does not work, I advise the person to seek counselling from a therapist or psychiatrist. But our togetherness is about self-realisation, nothing other than that. And whatever is needed for that is needed for that. Sometimes therapists say people involved in spirituality have a tendency to sweep their emotional problems under the carpet. Yes, that is true. They often hide within spirituality and meditation in an attempt to get away from it all, to not have to fully live. In a half-baked understanding of the principle of observing, people become aloof and avoid participating in life, soothing their fears. And what is meant as a pointer to the student is often conceptualized. Thus, one attempts to define life and move away from painful experiences. A spiritual teacher will point out this maneuver again and again. But life itself always shows. If you try to preserve your safety and control behind spiritual concepts or behind a refusal to be totally present, then that certainly comes to light. Everything wants to be seen, and everything you try to avoid knocks on your door one day. So these are always the big subjects. What are you trying to keep hold of? And what are you afraid of? Live life fully. Deny nothing. But isn't everything wants to be seen an invitation to investigate the personality? To find out, why am I sad? Why does my partner irritate me? No. All why stops. In radical spirituality, there is no interest in any why. It all depends on where you are on your liberating journey, whether you allow and experience that sadness or just let it pass. Why sadness exists again refers to the imagined person. Instead of wondering what the reason is, it may be more helpful to catch the gift that is hidden in feelings. They show you something. They have a message for you. They make you aware of your ideas. And so becomes visible what you still deny, what you protect, and what you are attempting to prove. Everyone walks their own unique path, and everyone has ideas about what they think they need during their inner journey. But that is not necessarily what you get, nor what you really need. How do you find out? Well, as I see it, the connection with your spiritual teacher is of the utmost importance. There is an immense power and capacity working through this master-student relationship, and that is grossly underestimated nowadays. Do not deny yourself the possibility to be profoundly nourished and empowered by such a rare gift and blessing. Trust yourself. trust the cooperation with your teacher. The discoveries you make will strengthen the trust further and open new vistas. Love yourself and love life. In total love, you'll see that the true life knows no separation nor constraint. I would love to be more myself. Cast off all that is not you and just be yourself. Then you live your power. Then your authenticity emerges. How we all long for authenticity. You only have to look at who our heroes are. Nelson Mandela, Nina Simone, Mick Jagger, or on a much greater scale, Jesus, Buddha, the Dalai Lama. All people who are so much themselves and live their mission. Their authenticity reminds us of something that lives deep in all of us and that we long for so much. Naturalness. How does personal authenticity arise? That has to do with self-trust. Your spiritual unfolding adds a great dimension to that. Your self-trust with a small s transforms into self-trust with a big S by means of surrender, by getting out of the way and making room for God, the unknown self. You find ever more space in your heart. You don't need to reject or acquire anything anymore. Your existence becomes an expression of naturalness. Then authenticity is no longer personal. Do you still have to have a personality? What is that? Do you still have preferences? For sure. Could you call that a personality? The concept personality comes from the Latin word persona, meaning mask. The one who loses themselves in their personality is masking their true self. Let's look. A preference wells up. A preference wells up. I want to go for a walk. I feel like having a coffee. I like somebody. Is a personality needed for that? Not at all. All the gurus I know are totally different kinds of people with totally different personalities. You see that they are different, but they will not readily confirm this to be the case. It all depends on your point of view. Anchored in similar awareness as they are, they see sameness rather than difference. Maybe there are preferences, maybe not. What matters is whether you imagine to be identified with what is happening. Do you see that all is transparent and that identification is not even possible? From my perspective, there is no personality. I can't find anyone anywhere who is me or who is you. There are thoughts and feelings, giggles of laughter, a momentary impatience. All manifests as it has always done, the entire spectrum of life. Does that insight add something to the notion of essence? Notion of essence. Let's be careful and not again objectify the unborn principle that here we call essence. Essence is not an object, but a mystery that cannot be known. This is total. Here, nothing can be added. Here, nothing can be taken away. You realize who you are. You know who you are, without knowing conceptually. The realization is the revelation of the mystery to itself. Many bear witness to an unending deepening of more and more refinement and subtlety. There is no such thing as a final destination. All notion of beginning and end has fled. And for some, even the notion of deepening has fallen away. For them, this concept too has lost all meaning. What is being lived is unnameable and incomparable, a silent, empty, and transparent existence. How can there still be movement after self-realization? Essentially, nothing changes when all notion of I is merged into formless, undefinable consciousness. Movement just continues. The morning comes, the evening sets, a cousin is born, your neighbour dies. The world looks exactly the same. Do you see a personality in other people? No personality here, no personality there, no here, no there. Once someone asked me, "What are you actually? Are you a guru or a satguru?" I am everything and nothing at the same time. How can I confine myself to being something or not being something? How can I confine myself to one or the other? I can't say, "I am a guru or a satguru. I am this or I am that." It's impossible. And you are exactly the same. In reality, there is no me and no you. There is only one, pouring out into all.